headlines on the news for Tuesday, March 20th, 2007. This is Joe Francica and Adina Schitzberg of Directions Media. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to the top news of the week shortly, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Attend the Developer Summit in Palm Springs, California, March 19th through the 22nd. The conference features in-depth technical sessions and opportunities to interact one-on-one with ESRI development staff. To register, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Today we'll discuss the announcement last week that Pitney Bowes has offered to purchase MapInfo Corporation for $408 million. So just as a recap, we heard last week that MapInfo was being acquired by Pitney Bowes. That's the offer on the table. Jeffries Broadview was the investment banker hired to research and complete the offer. We understand that there were many bidders in this process.
Now, how much money was involved? The shareholders are going to do pretty well on this, right?
Yeah, the shareholders will essentially get a 50% premium over the closing stock price the day before the offer was made. So that's a significant amount of money. It had closed at about $13.21 a share. Following day, the share price shot up $6 on that announcement.
Right. So this is pretty much, you know, an offer you couldn't refuse. Okay, so who can we imagine was involved in that bidding process? We spoke to Mike Hickey at MapInfo last week, and he said, yeah, there were a number of bidders, and at this point that information hasn't been shared. It will probably come out eventually. But who do you think was around that table, Joe?
Perhaps Oracle might have been a bidder, maybe even Microsoft. And if IBM wanted to get back into the game, this might have been a potential acquisition for them. But none of those proved to be true.
Okay, now, and those are all sort of technology companies. Would any of the sort of business intelligence kinds of companies be interested in buying MapInfo?
Well, that's a possibility, but both are, you know, but all of the companies in that space are relatively small. You know, MicroStrategy, Information Builders, Business Objects. You know, they're a little bit larger than MapInfo, but not that much larger. And anything, any of those players probably would have been a merger, not an all-out acquisition.
It's interesting, I think, for us to look back. And back in the day, there were all kinds of discussions about MapInfo perhaps being, you know, like a front end for an Oracle Spatial, or MapInfo somehow partnering with Intergraph to bring together their two very different kind of strengths within the geospatial marketplace. And clearly, neither of those were to be.
Well, there was discussions at some point between Oracle and MapInfo, and that deal, I believe, fell through. And early on, in the early 90s, I was involved in some discussions between Intergraph and MapInfo, and that never panned out other than a translation between the products at that time. So that really wasn't a very good proposition for either company. It just never panned out.
What have we learned about how Pitney Bowes is going to use the acquisition, or how it fits into the company?
Pitney Bowes owns a company called Group One. Group One Software is known for its geocoding, address validation, essentially data hygiene on any large database of names and addresses, essentially a customer information database. What they'll do is they'll parse the address, make it very clean, and the geocodable, if that's what you want to call it. So this fits nicely into a lot of the marketing spin that Group One has about being in the business geographics industry. And so this is a logical extension for them to acquire a company that like MapInfo, because then you get the analytical tools, the visualization engine, and certainly the consulting services, especially in the retail market, which the Thompson acquisition that MapInfo made a couple of years ago. They've really extended their product solution line quite a bit, and it's a good fit for Pitney Bowes at this point.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. And so Pitney Bowes is basically a company that facilitates mailings. I think of marketing mailings.
You know,
people
That's right.
want to sell stuff.
Right,
okay,
direct mail.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, and they acquired Group One to make sure that they could get the mail correctly to the people they were trying to mail to. That is, we got the correct address, it's clean, it's got the right zip code, those sorts of things.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so by acquiring MapInfo, now they're getting more information on who to send the mail to, what is the right demographic, and where are they?
Right. So if you're going to walk into a major retailer or particularly insurance companies, you want to have a very good handle on who your target market is and how you would offer them services that would help them do a better job other than just doing their mail cleaning, okay, or mailstream businesses that you Bose would have it.
Okay, but the other side of MapInfo's business, the Thompson side, is from to my mind, more about where do we put the businesses?
This is where I think it's a little bit of a stretch for the acquisition of by Pitney Bowes, because it's a big step for them to get into this side of the business.
So that is a whole different space than where Pitney Bowes is coming from right now. They're not involved in sort of that locational analytical part.
That's right. The analytical part is a piece that was certainly missing on their end. So they're looking to get into different parts of the business geographics business than they had previously. And for MapInfo, this frees them up a little bit from being a public company, which they were somewhat constrained, remember, because they had to show progress every quarter. The stockholders had to see that they were moving well. And then they're also constrained by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act in Congress that was very much kind of the dark cloud overhanging a lot of the small companies regarding their accounting procedures and practices. So being now within a larger organization like Pitney Bowes, again, they're about a $5 billion company, a $10 billion market cap, they can now essentially act a little bit more independently and go after opportunities that they might have been a little bit reticent before.
Right, and there was some overlap. We talked with Steve Waldman at Pitney Bowes, and he made the comment that they're actually the two companies do have clients in common.
Here's an opportunity for Pitney Bowes to go ahead and offer them more solutions that they might not have had otherwise.
When I heard that story, it made me think very much of the General Electric acquisition of Small World, which was back 7 years ago now, where I think of General Electric as a company. They sold the stuff that makes the energy. And now they can, after the acquisition of Small World, and now we've got the technology to manage that and keep track of those assets and so and model and so forth. It's kind of hard to say because GE Energy, it's such a small corner of this huge thing called General Electric. But certainly my sense is once that happened, we heard less and less about the Small World technology in the GIS marketplace, and it's sort of like they sort of disappeared.
Yeah, although I think this is a little different. I think that hopefully Pitney Bowes will keep the MapInfo brand around, that they'll try to build that part of the business.
And it is a very well-known brand. You have to give the MapInfo folks credit. It's a terrific name for a mapping company. They really did a great job with the name.
Although I wanted to mention that I did hear a little bit of reticence on the part of Mike Kiki and his voice that when they went into this process, kind of the management was left out of the main discussions that occurred. So even though it's still a little bit early to tell, there might be some uneasiness about is this going to be a good fit for the company? Is management going to stick around? Are they going to be able to do the things that they think that they'll be able to do? I think the other part of the discussion we want to talk about for our listeners is what does this mean for the GIS industry in general, and in particular the MapInfo partners who are kind of getting dragged along with this acquisition. I don't think it's a good move for them. I think they're going to be kind of left out in the cold in this, and I'm sure the MapInfo would argue with that.
Now, which partners are you thinking of in particular, like MicroStrategy and those kind of things?
No. I think those type of partners may be brought into the mix more. I'm talking about the people who are resellers, the people who MapInfo uses for somewhere in the order of 30 to 40% of the revenue, to generate sales of MapInfo Professional. Now, for several years, I think MapInfo was moving towards more of a direct sales environment, in particular, with more of a consultative process. The partners, although at times are brought into that same process, were certainly moving away from just direct box sales of MapInfo.
I did address a question both to Mike Hickey and to Stephen Waldman about MapInfo's users in the government sector or in public safety, where they have some pretty substantial user bases, and sort of what the future held for them. And I guess I got the sense of, well, MapInfo's not going away, but clearly the energy at MapInfo is going to be drawn to the synergy with what already exists within Pitney Bowes, I would suggest, more than spending time with and trying to grow that other corner of the market.
Down the road, I certainly can see that if Pitney Bowes builds the business up substantially, that you may see a Group 1 MapInfo merger into one division. And maybe even further down the road, you may want to see that company spin off into a separate entity. But in general, what you have here is a large player stepping very much further into the location intelligence market. So you got Pitney Bowes, you have people like Microsoft, Oracle, some of the systems integrators like CH2M Hill, even GE that we mentioned before, big players in the location intelligence market. And that's a real evolution that's taking place. And I think you're going to see more of this. I read the IDC report that they put out, Dave Sonnen and Henry Morris. They speculated that this is a broadside move by Pitney Bowes against Oracle. I don't necessarily see it that way. I don't think that they enter that space immediately.
The folks at Forbes made the statement that the acquisition puts Pitney Bowes in direct competition with Google and Microsoft. Again, maybe down the road as they move more into this, you know, business intelligence, location intelligence sort of space. But right now, I don't see them in anything like the space that Pitney Bowes is in.
I agree. I think that is so far off the mark. I don't know what they were reading. I hope they're reading the same press release I was, but that is not the competitive environment in which Pitney Bowes wants to play at this point.
The other company that we haven't mentioned is ESRI. Is this going to have any impact on ESRI, which more than maybe some of the other players, does have a business group that's been working in this space. They've got their own event and products.
Yes, and it is in direct competition with the ESRI business group for sure, because they stand up again head-to-head with some of the same things. The G-coders, the MapInfo professional and ArcView business analyst have always gone head-to-head. The Target Pro product from MapInfo would go up against some of the psychographic analytical programs that the ESRI business unit has. So there is definitely head-to-head competition here. I don't know if Pitney Bowes was doing that intentionally when they decided to buy MapInfo, but that's something that you could certainly surmise.
Right. Well, and there's one more corner of MapInfo's business that we need to think about, and that's the data part. They still do maintain and sell a lot of specialized data.
And that may be a part of the business that Pitney Bowes wanted, because that's a substantial part of the MapInfo revenue. It's perhaps easy revenue from that standpoint. And it's a logical fit in terms of if you want to offer mail-type services, again, a very product-oriented environment, there you go. There's data products. And I think that that's a great line, a great brand extension there for the Group 1 folks.
That's a good place to stop at this point, and we'll certainly keep our eyes open as the acquisition matures and probably completes. We don't see any reason why this won't go through at this point, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I think it's a pretty smooth transition. Well, thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. We'd like to remind you that the ESRI Developer Summit begins Monday, March 19th, this week in Palm Springs. On-site registration will be available beginning at 7:30 a.m. each day. Follow the link to www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you'll tune in again next week, and be sure to tell a friend.